In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The week is passing by quickly, coming to the strong events of the crucifixion. And Wednesday is a milestone in the road of salvation, as the church teaches us to fast Wednesdays and Fridays. We understand that Friday, the day when the Lord was crucified, but Wednesday is the day when the decision was made that the Lord should be crucified, meaning that the scribes and Pharisees came to a point where they said, that's enough, we can't take more of this, this man needs to be killed, and it's better for one man to die instead of the entire nation, and that the high priest actually said that. He doesn't understand what he's saying, but he was actually saying a prophecy. He's saying, let this man die so we don't lose our nation and our land. But the real meaning is that someone will die instead of the entire human race. And because the event is coming quickly to an end, and because the decision was made that the Lord should be delivered to death, we see two responses today. One is betrayal of Judas. And it's amazing how they make the decision on Wednesday that the Lord should be delivered, and at the very same day, they say that the devil comes into the heart of Judas and tells him to go, and actually Judas himself went by himself willingly to the Jews, asking them, how much will you give me, and I will deliver him to you. Nobody asked him, but they said the devil came into his heart, and he went and did that. Wednesday. The second and the exact opposite event. Somehow, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, felt that the time is near. I want to show you how the devil is working and God is working at the same time. So the devil went right away to the heart of Judas, telling him, go today, now. Do not delay. Even though the time actually was not an appropriate time. It was very busy for the feast. If you think like Egyptians prepare a lot and kahk and biskut and all of this, the Jews prepare 10 times even more. They prepared so much. It's the most important time in the feast. They were so busy. But there is an urge, strong urge came to Judas. Go now, today, now. Why? Because it's the same day where the scribes and Pharisees made the decision that he should be betrayed. I want you to keep this in mind because it's going to relate to something else that I'm going to say in a little bit. At the very same time, I don't know who went to Mary, if it's an angel or the Holy Spirit or God himself, put it in heart, get the alabaster flask, get the ointment, get the precious stuff, and pour it tonight. Not tomorrow. We'll be too late tomorrow. Tonight. Go and do it. She had no hesitation. Went, got this ointment that's worth around $30,000, and she poured it on his head and even on his entire body, of course. And of course, when she did that, most of it fell on the floor, that the disciples were crazy and said, why this waste? This could have been sold for so much and is given to the poor. Who are the poor? The disciples. The disciples they've never seen all this much money being just thrown on the floor like this. They're the poor. It was crazy. Two very contradicting actions. How does this relate to us now? And me. I'm going to tell you how this will relate to to the whole world, and then hopefully you can apply this to you specifically. Without a shadow of a doubt, we are close to the end. Without a shadow of a doubt, we are close to the end. Without a shadow of a doubt, we are close to the end. The devil knows that very much. And also the heavenly host know that very much. And both of them are working very, very hard at the same time. In the last 50 years, we've seen spiritual revival that the world haven't seen since the 4th century, all over the world. I'm not talking only about the Coptic Church, the whole world. There is a revival. There's books, there are seminaries, there are talks, there are preaching, there are Bibles everywhere, there are Gospels spreading the word of Christ. There is a revival in the whole wide world. We are experiencing a revival that the world has never seen for over 15 centuries. We can tell the number of churches, the books, the people who are going to church, the materials, the books available, even though we had righteous parents. We had righteous grandparents. We had ancestors who were great, but it was never like this. It was never like this. God is putting that on the heart of certain people. That's why there is a spiritual revival and there is consecration. There's a work of mission. But at the very same time, there is a strong wave of evil and temptation like no one has ever seen before. When someone in his 60s and 70s and 80s is suffering from lust and pornography, there's something wrong here. Not blaming a person, because it's not a person. It's a plague over the entire generation. Old, young, close, far, you name it. The betrayal that we see spiritual life in marriages, the doubts that are all over, it's a very weird combination between very close and very far, and you end up somewhere in the middle called confusion. Meaning, is a church, revival, books, sermons, good stuff, and is evil, sin, and very strong desires to bring me really down? What does this teach me? Confusion. I come in the middle and say, how come? I just took communion yesterday. I was in the church last week. What happened today? Maybe what I'm receiving is not really the body and blood of Christ. Maybe the teaching that I'm receiving, there's something wrong with it. Either there's something wrong with what I'm receiving, or there's something wrong with me, and both come into the same conclusion that there is confusion and doubt. And add to this so many things that come in between, like hardness of heart, like carelessness. So many things come from these two. I promise you, 50 years ago, we didn't have the percentage of people who are attending church right now. So many hours in the day. They were not practicing as we're practicing. They were not reading books as we're reading books. But somehow, they never had the number of temptations and the desires and this evil waves that we are experiencing now. Both working very strongly at the same time. What's the conclusion here? The conclusion is there is nowhere in between. Nowhere in between. The between is actually worse than both. The between is confusion or lukewarmness, whatever it is. But it's worse than both. Because either I'm close and I'm led by the Spirit, or I'm far away and I'm a fleshly person and I know that I'm led by my desires and I know the difference between both of them. But the worst is the confusion, or call it the lukewarmness or whatever it is. But in the end, it's leading to destruction. Nothing in between. Where are you? Mary or Judas? Knowing very well that we have both of them living in us. The corrupted nature that we received from Adam, side of me, side of you, side of the old, the young, every human being who is alive. And we have Mary. Why? Because we received the Holy Spirit. We have tasted the love of God. We have seen. We have experienced before. We know God. We know God. It's not that we don't know Him. We know Him. And that's why I want to go to church. I want to be a spiritual person. I really want to love God. And that's great. But there is a force against you, right inside of you, not anywhere else. And guess what? It's growing stronger every day. Before, in other generations, or the generations before us, they never had this. They never had this. Even people lived a simple life. Simple life. I promise you, people did one quarter of what you're doing, and it was actually okay for them. But we are living in a different generation. And we are called by God to live in this generation. And because we live in this generation, God will give us grace enough to be strong and to fight the way of evil, as I told you. So as much as the temptations are growing and the strong evil desires within all of us are growing, the grace of God is also growing abundantly. God is giving grace every day. But you have to understand the difference between both of them. And you have to understand your call. And that's why the Lord said in advance, I'm telling you, there is difficult times in the end going to come. Be ready and prepared for that. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to think that you are the only one in this situation where you have evil, strong evil desires. That's actually if you are honest with yourself. If you are honest with yourself, you will find the jealousy, you will find the selfishness, you will find the lust, you will find all evil desires inside of you very strong. Very strong. The environment doesn't help either. The environment, the culture that we are in, helps us so much to be extremely selfish and self-focused on ourselves. And that's the truth. The self-pity that we see these days, unbelievable. We're better than 97% of the people in the world. And yet, we are complaining a lot. And I'm not saying we're bad or you're bad. We're all doing that. Why? Because this is the culture. But it's very important for us, spiritual people, to understand. I want you to know that. So when these things come, you know whom you are fighting. When someone comes and is being fought by temptations and sexual lusts and the love of money, I tell him, it's not your fight. It's the fight of the generation. So let's help each other. Let's be together in this. Let's be together in this. And God is working. God is working very strongly. But you have to understand that because we lived so long in this generation, we actually have no room for God. And it's easy for us to fluctuate between the two, between the Mary and the Judas. Not only easy to fluctuate, but very quickly. Very quickly. I could be in the church spending 10 hours today, and tomorrow I'm looking at something on the internet. How? How? Because deep down, embedded through long time, through the culture, through the selfishness, through the consuming and the consumer mentality, that we have selfishness, that I satisfy my desires. Day after day, I learned to satisfy my desires. I learned how to live according to the flesh very well, but not according to the spirit. What's the solution? Forget about the slides. I actually changed everything I prepared. I prepared the sermon, but I'm talking now about something completely different. So just forget about this for now. Happens a lot, by the way. I felt what I'm telling you, that this is a message that we need to hear. It's a tough message, but I think it's comforting too. To know that I'm not the only one in this situation. Because the devil wants you to be confused. Sin is easy. There is repentance for sin. Sin is easy. But the worst thing is confusion. Am I right? Am I wrong? It's like I'm this or that. And we tend to go to either ways. I'm either Mary and I'm a saint and I'm better than others and I judge other people. Or I'm Judas, and I don't deserve to be in the church, and I don't deserve to pray, I'm the worst person, and all of this, and there's no end. Confusion. We don't need to be confused. One thing we need to learn is in this evil generation, and in this last generation, we need to push or to create a place for God in our hearts and our souls. I said that before in Light and Life, but I will repeat it again. To push God on myself and to push myself spiritually, forcefully, consistently, and incrementally or gradually growing in that. What I mean by everything I'm saying is actually explained very well in the book that you are reading. And I really hope that you're reading this book. I really hope you're reading this book, because it's going to give you the message that I may not be able to give you. In this book, the monk advised the person who wants to grow spiritually and to learn how to pray unceasingly. He said, go and pray Jesus' prayer 3,000 times a day. He did it. It was a little bit hard, but he did it. And he said, I felt something in me. Is this natural that someone would pray Jesus' prayer 3,000 times a day? It's not natural. But guess what? If you wait until you desire God, it will never happen. You will never, ever desire God on your own. Unless you do it this way. Especially in this generation. Before, God used to do a miracle with someone, he lives his entire life bragging about this miracle and saying, you know, God did this with me and God changed me. Not anymore. Not anymore. Why? Is God different? No, the generation is different. And the call of this generation is different. Ask, please, ask your parents, ask your grandparents. It was never the same. It was okay. It was needed for someone to be touched with God once in his life. And he goes his entire life with this touch. For us, it's more difficult. This book that we have that was written like a century ago is more reasonable now than any other time. Why? Because we have so many desires. And there is a lot of temptation. Let me give you an example. If I say today is your lucky day, the church won a couple of $1 million and everyone here in the church is going to get $1,000 before leaving church. How many people will be saying, great, I've been really wanting to give to the poor, but I don't have money. Thank you, Lord. But how many people will say, I'm going to get the iPad? Why? Because I want to read the church. That's what I say. I want to read books. I want to be a good person. It doesn't seem like an evil desire. But we are full of these desires. Find the room for God in this heart. Good luck. Good luck. Unless you force God on your soul and in your heart, it will never happen. It has to be forcefully. And even forcefully is not an easy thing. Why? Because we are in a generation, we are not forced to do anything. We are free. And we like freedom. So even this is hard. But thank God for his grace that he's sending day after day to help us with this. So when I start, he's there. And his angels are there. And his saints are there to help me in my struggle. Will it happen automatically? Never. How about by coming to church? No. Why? There's no room here. You think coming to church, unless you come to church like Holy Week every single day of your life. Who's going to do this? Have to force it. You have to convince someone that he has to pray in the morning and read his Bible before leaving home. What? Yeah, convince me. And the time and this and that. And can I do it in the evening? Can I do this and that and the distraction and all of this, there's no room. There's no room for God. We have to push a room for God or it will never, ever happen. And we have to do it consistently. Why? Because inside, there is a lion. Inside is a monastery. It's so selfish. It's so proud. It's so arrogant. So lustful. What do I do with this? Tame it. How? Every single day, teach him the same lesson. Same lesson. Every single day. We need to pray this prayer. It took the man who's learning this so long to learn how to pray Jesus' prayer 3,000 times. And then his spiritual guide, he doubled it. He said 6,000 times a day. And it was very, very hard. But he did it. And after he did, he felt a lot of peace, a lot of breathe, like I can breathe. There is a room for God. Now it's not so hard to be in a spiritual mood. You know why? We're actually one common thing amongst most of us, not all of us, distraction throughout prayer. There's no fervent prayer. I bet. Ask anyone who would say otherwise to this. I would say less than 1%. Why? Why there's a lot of distraction in prayer? Because I'm thinking about other stuff. There's no room for God in my heart, in my soul, and in my mind. I have to push it. And what this person is saying is, after that, it's easy to pray. He wanted to pray after that. It came naturally that he actually remembers God throughout the time. And actually, for the sake of obedience, he kept it at 6,000 times a day. And then later on, what did he do? He doubled it. 12,000 times a day. You think you can do it? You can do anything. As long as you train this lion to submit to God. As long as you teach your flesh to obey God and to obey the Spirit. Unless we leave here this Holy Week with a determination that I want to be Mary. I don't want to be anywhere in between. I want to be Mary. I really want to love God. I want that this question, when it's asked, you have $1,000 or you have a couple of days, the first thing that comes to my mind and to my heart is I want to give this to God. Not because I want to give or I want to be a giver or I want to be a good person, but I really enjoy Him. You think we enjoy God? Not really, unless we train ourselves, unless we're disciplined to that, until I teach my soul to love God. Naturally, it will never, ever happen. I will have to keep pushing that. And I will have to push to an extreme. I promise you, this is not the age of the in-between. In between is a big hole. Either you're so committed or you'll be lost. This is not the generation when things could just happen. No. It's not this generation. For you and for your children. It's not the time of easygoing. Easygoing meaning loss. We need to teach our souls that. We need to teach our hearts that. Forcefully, will force myself to a spiritual diet that I put for myself. And I ask, for guidance, that I'm consistent with that. I tell people, if you want to succeed in a spiritual life, do your prayer even if you're coming to church. Why? Teach this, to always have room for God. Push things. You can do 5 minutes, make it 10 minutes. Your concentration is 15 minutes, make it 20. Why? Push. Push yourself a little bit. Push your soul a little bit to make a room for God. Because this is the time for that. God is sending love. God is working more than ever in history. But let's have fellowship with the Holy Spirit in His work. Let's be determined to be godly people and not to think that we're the only ones who are confused or lost in between. I promise you, what I'm telling you goes for everyone, old and young, experienced in the faith, new. We all need that. And this is the time for that. We're in a spiritual high because we're training the lion and the monsters to love God. But 1 week from now, he's going to love something else, something delicious, and we'll enjoy it. Push room for God. I remind you with the story in the book where an addict had a problem with addiction all of his life, got in trouble, gonna leave his job for addiction. And a monk gave him the four gospels. And he said, whenever you get the urge, read one chapter of the gospel. If the urge continues, read two. If the urge continues, read three. Why? Pushing. You push the desires. How? By stopping yourself? By saying no? By trying harder? No. By putting more room for God. Pushing God more on myself and on my soul. And I will enjoy it, I promise you. But in the beginning, I have to push him a room. He said, but I don't understand anything I read in the Bible. He said, don't worry, the devil understands what you're reading. No problem. It's true. It's true. Who cares about understanding? Who cares about understanding? We're dealing with the Spirit. We're dealing with the Spirit. Pushing a room for God. Even if we don't understand the prayer and we're not focusing on the prayer that we're praying. But we are pushing God on ourselves. We're creating a strong place for God. Keep it up. Keep it up. Don't go from 10 hours a day to 10 minutes a day. That's crazy. That's crazy. We can't go from 10 hours a day to 10 minutes a day, or else we're doing, you know, the two polars that I told you. If you read the book of Revelation, the last church was the church of the lukewarmness. It was the church that thought that everything is good, everything is great, but they were missing a lot. Okay? We don't want to be this church. We don't want to be this church. We want to know what's happening in our generation and work with God and give him a place to work through us and to change the generation through us. One last thing I will say. The world will end with a battle. Either, if you read the book of Revelation, I bet no one will know who won in the end. Was it the devil or God? In the end, of course, God will be king over all and he will come and, you know, will destroy the evil in the end of the day. But the end of the days, the difficult time, the bad time, who won? No one knows. You know why? Because it's up to us. We will decide who will win. We, our generation, will decide who will win. The control is ours. And the decision is ours. All of us together. Either we do that collectively as a one church and as one united church, or else the loss will be for all. So let's fight for that. Let's take the strength of God. Let's determine to desire God and to push God in our lives and our desires, that he may give us a brand new life and the resurrection that will stay forever. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.